This evening, we're going to start a short sermon series on the Bible's interesting people. That'll be the main topic at hand, the Bible's most interesting people. And tonight, we are going to start off with the man Samuel. So let me invite you to open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. The man Samuel serves an important part in Old Testament history and also the furthering forward of God's plan for his people Israel. He plays a key role in there, a unique place that he has within God's plan. In fact, we could say that Samuel played a part that no one else could have played except for him. Right time, right place, that sort of matter, and God intervening and bringing Samuel to a place where he would use him in a significant way. He had a unique beginning, and we'll take a look at that, not tonight, but perhaps next week. A unique beginning. He held the position of national leader at a time when it was very difficult to lead the nation of Israel. They were not only backslidden, but they had turned away from the Lord to other idols and other gods. Samuel held the office, interestingly enough, of prophet, priest, and judge. In fact, as we will see as we go through the things written of him in the scriptures, that he was the last of the judges and the first of the prophets to come. Now, there were, quote, seers or people who had visions before Samuel, but Samuel is referred to really as the prophet and is the beginning of that office, if you want, of prophets in the nation of Israel. So he really lived and served in a transition time period in the nation of Israel. He also was the one used of God to anoint the first two kings in Israel. Remember their names? Saul and David, yes. And Samuel was instrumental in bringing them into a kingdom rule as kings. He lived an exemplary life of service to the Lord God of Israel. He was well respected for his godly character and his holy behavior in all of Israel. And all Israel recognized the good that he was doing for not only their nation, but the good example he set for them all. And I would say to you that he is a wonderful example for even us today. And we can look back at what is written of him with great profit and be edified as we understand what and who Samuel is. So let's take a look at this man, Samuel. Number one, the name Samuel means, any ideas? Check your cross references. From Strong's concordance and lexicon, he gives the meaning of Samuel's name as heard of God, H-E-A-R-D, heard of God. And as you might suspect, others have variations of meanings. The Brown, Driver, and Briggs lexicon, which is a Hebrew lexicon, they suggest that Samuel means his name is El. Samuel, El being the shorter form of Elohim, which is the word for God, right, in Hebrew. So they simply say that Samuel means his name is El. His name is God. I'm not sure where name comes from, but nonetheless, that's what they have. If you're familiar with ISBE, the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, they suggest that Samuel's name means name of God. So there's a variety of ideas as to what the word means. They're all pretty close. I would say the most common meaning of Samuel's name is Strong's meaning, which is heard of God. Would there be any significance, do you think, to the meaning of his name, heard of God? I will say to you, yes. There is great significance for why he was called Samuel when he was born, heard of God. And we'll look at that next week. But there's significance to it, and his mom and dad gave him the name, so there was some point and purpose for calling him Heard of God, and we'll see that next time as we look at chapter 1. Secondly, so what does Samuel's name mean? Heard of God. Secondly, Samuel's name occurs some 142 times in 121 verses in the Bible. 142 times you will find the name Samuel. And out of the 142 times, only three of them occur in the New Testament. Which kind of makes sense because Samuel's an Old Testament character, right? Living just pre-kingdom stage in the life of Israel. And Lord willing, towards the end of this service, we'll look at those three New Testament passages before we leave tonight. All of the other occurrences are in the Old Testament. His name occurs 131 times in 1 Samuel alone. I was reading one little Bible study that some guy had put together, and he said that Samuel has two books after his name, but only one in which he's mentioned. So obviously the two books are 1 and 2 Samuel, but his name never appears in 2 Samuel. Only in 1 Samuel, 131 times in 1 Samuel, in fact. Which is interesting because in the Hebrew Bible, Samuel is just one book, right? One scroll out of many. I forget which part of the three that it's in, but it's one scroll. It was later on, if I remember this correctly, it was because of the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament scriptures, that divided the book, the scroll of Samuel, into two. So you have 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. They did the same thing with Chronicles. They did the same thing with Kings. Right? The original Hebrew, all of those books are just one book. So, interesting facts, I suppose. 1 Samuel is obviously the book that has the bulk of the information about him and where we can read about him. So, how many times does his name occur? 142. How many times in the New Testament? Three. This is just like 3BI class, you know. I miss 3BI. Number three, the significance of Samuel's life is revealed to us here in chapter 3. And so we want to take a little bit closer look at the chapter. You can maybe scan over the verses again. We'll not read through the whole chapter again. But just draw a few things out of this chapter. We're told in verse 1 of chapter 3 that the child Samuel, understand Samuel to be a young teenager at this point in time. According to Josephus and his history books, he mentions that Samuel was 13 years old when he started to serve in the temple at Shiloh with Eli the priest. So the child, Samuel, he's just a young man, ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And so that was his part. Eli was the priest in those days. And Samuel came along and ministered, as it says, to the Lord before Eli. So his job was related in the temple, or the tabernacle, I guess it was back in that day. So he served the Lord and did that on behalf of or under the tutelage or the oversight of the priest Eli. Now also notice in verse 1 that in relation to Samuel serving the Lord, it tells us that the word of the Lord was precious. There was no open vision. It's an interesting statement. The word precious means that which is valuable, that which is prized, that which is weighty, and, if you can believe it, that which is rare, right? So the idea of being precious is that it was rare, that the word of the Lord was rare, not so common in that day. And that, of course, then made it very precious because of its being rare. The reason that the word of the Lord was precious at that time really was because it was rare and therefore valuable. And he tells us that there was no open vision. In other words, heaven was silent. There was no word from God to his people Israel at this particular point in time. If it did come, it was rare that it should come. It was not something common. And so it was a difficult time. No word from God. But you know what? This simply reflects the sad state of affairs in Israel at this time. Right? The days just before or just concluding with Samuel were the days of the judges. Remember the days of the judges and the cycles that they went through? They liked the Lord, they worshiped the Lord, they were faithful to him, and then they got sidetracked, began to worship idols of the nations who were all around them, and God gave them up to oppressors and for many years. And when the people cried out, the Lord gave them a judge, somebody like Ehud or Samson or something like that, to deliver his people from those foreign oppressors. And for a while then, they did really well, but it didn't seem to take too long before they slipped back into their old ways, began to fall away from the Lord, and began to worship idols again. This was a terrible time spiritually for Israel right at this point in time. They had turned away from God. They worshipped idols. Judges 21:25 says, there was no king in those days. Everyone did that which was right in their own eyes, right? And so this was I think, the original me generation. These are the nuns. Everything is about me. Right? They did whatever was right in their own eyes, not the eyes of the Lord, but their own eyes. The nation was far from God, although not completely gone. There was always a remnant that stayed true to God. But it would seem that because of Israel's evil moral condition, God had nothing to say to them. There was no word, no open vision. And how sad is that for this people chosen by God, set apart from the nations of the world by God, and he just could not talk to them at all. The sad moral state of Israel can be clearly seen in the life and in the conduct of this priest named Eli. And we'll look a little bit more at him next week as we get into chapter 2. His two sons were real gems. In the tabernacle, they served and ministered at the altar and in the tabernacle in Shiloh in those days. They were pretty corrupt, those two boys, and unfortunately Dad did not hinder them or correct them or stop them from doing what they were doing, which is part of the reason why the word that came to Samuel here in chapter 3 had to deal with Eli. So there was a sad moral state in Israel, sad spiritual state. They were worshiping idols. They did whatever they wanted to do with no thought about what God thought at all. Until Samuel came along. Samuel was different. He changed the face of the state of affairs for Israel very, very much. So, secondly, we're going to jump down to verse 19 here in the chapter. You recall, and you can scan through the verses where the Lord called Samuel. Samuel thought it was Eli calling him and went to say, "Here am I." And Eli said, "Go back to bed." It sounds like our kids when they were young, right? Trying to put them to bed, and they were always up, and you always had to send them back. It's almost kind of like that here, until Eli realized after the third time that this was the Lord that was calling Samuel. And so then he told him, "You go lay down, and when you hear your name called again, then you say, 'Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.'" And so Samuel did that, and the Lord came again and said, "Samuel, Samuel." And he answered, "Speak, I'm listening, I'm here, your servant heareth." Now, it's interesting that the thing that the Lord wants to divulge to Samuel, to reveal to Samuel, has to do with his judgment on Eli. That's kind of a tough burden, I think, for a young man to bear, right? Eli's his boss, basically, if we put it in that term. And the Lord's divulging information about Eli's corrupt sons and the judgment of God against Eli. They're going to be destroyed. There's not going to be any further Eli family down the road. And he's putting all of that into Samuel, young Samuel. And you say, well, why? I kind of suspect that Eli had a little bit of a difficulty with the fact that God was speaking to him and not to himself. And then when the morning came and Eli says, "So, what did the Lord say to you?" I'm suspicious that Eli had a thought or a sense what that might be. Because the Lord had already told Eli, "You're done. Because of your sons, you don't rebuke them." He told him that in chapter 2. So this word of the Lord to Samuel about Eli, I think, was really intended to stress the seriousness of the situation and to impress upon Eli and perhaps the rest of the nation that even though the word of the Lord was rare in those days and precious, God was not absent. He was still aware. He was still would still be involved in the lives of his people. So we read those intervening verses. I like Eli's statement in verse 18. Eli asked Samuel, "You tell me what the Lord said to you. Don't hide anything. Don't keep anything back. Just tell me the whole thing." And what did Samuel do? He told him everything. He told him every whit. He hid nothing from him, verse 18. And Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good to him." Well, I think that at least in that, Eli got something right. It's the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Remember days of the judges? Everybody did that which was right in their own eyes. At least Eli has a sense that whatever God is going to do is going to be good, and let him do it. So now when you come down to verse 19 to 21, this really specifically dealing with Samuel. It says there, "Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground." And how much of Israel? All Israel from Dan to Beersheba. Now, do you know where those two places are? Dan is in the farthest reaches of Israel, the northern reaches of Israel, way, way up north, Dan. And Beersheba, probably the most southern city within the nation or within the land of Israel. So from north to south, and obviously including east and west, but from north to south, from Dan even to Beersheba, they all knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. Shiloh, you have to dig out your Bible maps to look for Shiloh. It's not quite in Jerusalem, but it's not too far off the beaten track from Jerusalem. This was the place where the tabernacle had been set up after the conquest during the days of the judges. Shiloh was the place where the tabernacle was, and that's where Eli ministered, and that's where Samuel was. So the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. So there's some interesting things that are said here about Samuel. He grew, obviously. He's a young man. He's continued to grow. Not said of John the Baptist, it was said of the Lord Jesus that he grew and was in favor with God and with man and so on, grew in wisdom, stature. Same thing with Samuel. But the interesting thing is that the Lord was with him. And that phraseology has not been applied to too many individuals previous to Samuel in the nation of Israel. But the Lord was with him, and the Lord did let none of his words fall to the ground. When Samuel spoke, he spoke the truth, he spoke wisely, and everything that he said came to fruition, came to pass, came to be completed. The Lord let none of his words fall to the ground. He upheld them, and we can only suspect that the Lord held them up because what Samuel was speaking was the word of the Lord, right? Because the Lord was with him, and when he spoke of the Lord. And his fame, all Israel from Dan to Beersheba, all knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. What do we know about a prophet? A prophet is an individual who receives direct divine revelation from God to pass on to somebody else. In Samuel's case, he received direct divine revelation. That's verse 21. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh. The Lord revealed himself to Samuel by the word of the Lord. So he was receiving direct divine revelation from the Lord to give to the well-being of the nation of Israel in that day. And Samuel played, as we mentioned, a key role in the forming of the kingdom of Israel and transitioning from the days of judges into the days of the kingdom. To be a prophet of the Lord was a unique and very special office to be held. And Samuel, it appears, was the first to hold the office of prophet. And what a wonderful blessing for him that it was to Samuel that the Lord revealed himself and gave him his word. So we can see that in chapter 3 there is a very interesting and unique place that Samuel held in the life of the nation of Israel. Things really changed when Samuel came along. Things changed for the good. The Lord revealed himself, the word of the Lord was again being given, and Samuel was able to minister to Israel, or the Lord was able to minister to Israel through Samuel's life. Now, before we get into some of the other details of Samuel's life, his birth, and so on, let me give you a quick overview. Did you pick up a copy of the handout when you came in? Okay. What do you notice about the handout? There's blanks. That means you got to fill in a few things. So There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. These are key verses or key passages in the life of Samuel, and these give us kind of an overview of this man Samuel in the Bible. So, number one, in 1 Samuel 1, we have the story of Hannah, that's Samuel's mom, and how she conceived Samuel. Okay, it's a familiar story, but we'll look at it probably next week. Samuel was a miracle child, so to speak. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, we're told that Samuel receives favor from both God and man, right? All Israel knew Samuel's got a very special guy here. He's going to be a prophet of the Lord, so let's listen to him. 1 Samuel 3, verses 4 through 11, God anoints Samuel to the position of a prophet and judge. God anoints Samuel to the position of a prophet and judge. And then in 1 Samuel 3, verse 20, Samuel becomes a famous prophet all throughout Israel, Dan to Beersheba, right? He becomes a famous prophet all throughout Israel. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, Samuel leads the forces of Israel against, who do you think? Who was the enemy back in those days? Oh, the Philistines. Yes, Samuel actually went to war against the Philistines in Mizpah, which is very interesting. He's not just the guy that sits in the tabernacle, you know, ministering and serving the Lord. He's out in the battlefield, in fact. And we'll take a look at that sometime down the road. In 1 Samuel 7:15, Samuel is now a judge of all Israel. He's a judge of all Israel. Right? This is pre-kingdom days. But Israel is still united as the 12 tribes, and Samuel is the kind of the glue, if you want, that holds them all together, is now judge of all Israel. In 1 Samuel 8, verse 7, we read about the people rejecting Samuel's sons as the next judges, and they demand a king. Very interesting chapter there when we get to it. And just expresses excuse me, it expresses the low spiritual faithful content of the nation at this point in time. They wanted to have a king. Why? Because all the other nations around them had kings, and we want to be like the other nations, so make us a king. And so that takes place because Samuel's sons were not like dad. They were not a chip off the old block, as we will see. 1 Samuel 9:17, God anoints who as king? Saul. He anoints Saul as king and tells Samuel about his decision. In 1 Samuel 15, verse 26, God tells Samuel to reject Saul as king. Do you know how long Saul reigned as king in Israel of the United Kingdom? Do you remember it all? It was exactly the same age as I am, 40 years. He reigned in Israel for 40 years before he had it ripped away from him. And then, as you can see in 1 Samuel 16:13, Samuel anoints David as king. Do you know how long David reigned? 40 years. It's the exact same number. And when Solomon came along, do you know how long he ruled for as king? 40 years. Three times of 40 years. There's got to be something in all of that. And then, of course, Solomon's son made some unwise decisions, and the nation broke apart into two. 1 Samuel 28, verse 3, Samuel dies at Ramah, and all of the people of Israel mourn his death. They mourn his death. So Samuel had quite a place within the life of Israel in his day, and was well respected. Even the Lord gave him his word and set him as a prophet for the nation of Israel. So we're going to delve into a little bit more detail of some of these passages as we go on through this little series. Now, I wanted to take a look at the three New Testament passages. Maybe I'll just I'll give you the three verses, and we'll reserve comment for next time, because our time just is all gone now anyways. So here are the three verses, and you might want to jot down the references and spend a little time reflecting on them, check the context of them to find out what is around this statement of regarding Samuel. So the first one is in Acts 3, verse 24, which says, "Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days." You may want to ask yourself, what is "these days" referring to? So to find out, just you got to read the verses beforehand and afterwards in the context of this statement. And we'll do that a little bit next time. The second verse in the New Testament where Samuel's name appears is in Acts 13, verse 20, which says, "And after that he," which would be God, "gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet." Right? And you need to look up who is speaking that and what is the context in which that statement is made. But certainly we learn that Samuel was a prophet, that God gave Israel judges, period, about 450 years, up until the time of Samuel the prophet. And then the third reference is Hebrews 11, verse 32. Hebrews 11, verse 32. You all know what Hebrews 11 is all about. Yeah, it's the list of all of those of faith. We call it the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. In Hebrews 11, verse 32, it says, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets." So here Samuel is listed in the great list of faithful men that God was able to use down through the years. And as I said, we'll make a few other related comments to those verses. We'll do that next time. So this is the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. Samuel is included, as well he should be, because he was outstanding as a servant of the Lord in the Old Testament. Samuel is one of the most intriguing Old Testament characters. His birth and service for the Lord is amazing and unique. His place in Israel's history is significant. He is a great example of faith and faithfulness, and I trust you will come to love him as we work our way through his life and service out of God's word in the book of 1 Samuel.